Thank you, Miss Heather. Thank you, Miss Ruth. Great thoughts, great songs. Go ahead and get in your Bible if you would, to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Tonight is the 13th of the 14 Sunday evening messages that I planned months ago on random subjects. Lord willing, we will go through the book of 1 John verse by verse when we finish this series in a couple of weeks. I like variety in the teaching and preaching. I don't like to always do the same thing. I don't think it's good for me. I don't think it's good for you. And so we will switch gears to that. I'm looking forward to studying through the book of 1 John. I've never taught through it before. I mentioned, Joe kind of chastised me a little bit. He said, what do you mean telling everybody that's not one of your favorite books of the Bible? Listen, I love the Gospel of John. I've struggled with the book of 1 John. It's got some of the greatest practical truths in all of the New Testament. It's got also some of the most confusing statements in the New Testament. And so I'm looking forward to it. I believe God will use it in a great way should Christ tarry, and he allows you and I to live to be able to do that. Last Sunday night, we talked about the door being open. We talked about the great invitation of the Lord Jesus to come to him, to serve him, to learn of him. And we rejoiced in the open door to be saved, to serve, and to learn. We talked about the invitation of immorality, an open door to impurity before marriage and violating the exclusive marriage bed our Creator intended after marriage. And the invitations and open doors in our life are not just to Christ and to good things. There are a lot of things that dishonor God and hurt us and our future and corrupt our lives that are calling and inviting us to come to their open door. We talked about the invitation to wisdom, an open door to understand and how to use knowledge rightly. And we saw how the invitation to wisdom wasn't just what we choose to go to, but also what we choose to leave behind. Remember, we must seek wisdom and forsake the foolish if we want to live wisely and respond to the open door from our God to be wise. And it was good to be warned about the subtle voice of immorality hunting that which is precious. And it was also encouraging to know that any of us can come to Jesus. We can take his yoke. We can serve him. We can learn of him. And we can be wise in life. Tonight, I want to talk about Aquila and Priscilla together in faith. Now, most people mentioned in the Bible are great individual men and women of faith. Now, that doesn't mean their spouse did not have faith. It means their spouse was in more of a supporting role than a leadership role. Everyone who is successful in public stands on the back of someone else's private support. There are a few spouses of those who did great things by faith. There are a few who are named. Abram could have not left Ur of the Chaldees and journeyed to the land of promise if it weren't for Sarai willing to go. Some of Abraham's leadership, by the way, in those early years was pretty bad. And yet she stuck with him. Moses could not have battled Pharaoh or led Israel without Zipporah's support behind the scenes. Moses even wouldn't have been alive if it were not for the faith of his godly mother Jochebed and his father Amram. Joseph couldn't have done all he did if his wife Asenath wouldn't have embraced his faith to raise Ephraim and Manasseh to follow Jehovah instead of her father's God. Joseph's wife that was given to him by Pharaoh, her dad was a priest of one of the pagan gods in Egypt. Many great spouses, though, of men and women remain unnamed in the Bible. The husband or the wife, they were named, but their spouse is not. I mean, who knows the name of Enoch's wife? Noah's wife, Job's spouse. No one knows the name of Joshua's wife, Samuel's wife, or Peter's wife. Many know of Rahab's faith. Far fewer know of her husband, Salmon, of Judah. Many know of Hannah's faith. Far fewer know of her husband, Elkanah. But there is one New Testament couple whose faith and commitment to Christ cannot be separated because neither the husband or wife are ever mentioned separately from their spouse. That's Aquila and Priscilla. Who were they? What can we learn from Aquila and Priscilla by what is said about them in the New Testament? By the way, my hope tonight is anybody here who's still single will pick a spouse who shares your faith in Christ and the Bible. My hope is that if you're here tonight and that you're married and you have a spouse who shares your faith, that you will be encouraged in that faith. My hope also is that if you're here in your marriage and you serve without your spouse sharing your faith, that you will be encouraged to know that you can make a difference even if the lamp in your home has one bulb instead of two. If you're able to stand tonight, if you would stand in honor of the Word of God, tell of my thought is Aquila and Priscilla together in faith. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Thank you, might be seated. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned six times in the New Testament in four different books. They are always mentioned together. There's not a single time when Aquila is mentioned without Priscilla or Priscilla mentioned without Aquila. In fact, it's interesting, of those six times, four of the times Aquila's name is listed first and twice Priscilla is listed first. In fact, because what is said about them is fairly brief, we'll be able to touch on all six places where they're mentioned tonight. And it is here in the text we just read in Acts 18 where this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, walk on to the pages of God's Word. In verse 1 it says, after these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And on Paul's second missionary journey, he leaves the city of Athens and he travels about 300 miles south to the city of Corinth. And there, he comes in contact with a Jewish couple who shared his skills and trade of tent making in verses 2 and 3. A certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. You see, Priscilla and Aquila had recently moved to Corinth from Rome. The Roman Caesar Claudius commanded all Jews to leave because there has always been an irrational hatred of the Jews because they're God's chosen people. You can follow the Jews anywhere you find them in history and anywhere you find them today. They are irrationally hated and irrationally persecuted. And the only reason that there could possibly be for that irrational hatred everywhere is there a spiritual reason. And though they are enemies of the gospel, they are beloved for the Father's sake because of the covenant that God has with them. Satan hates anyone and anything that is special to Jehovah. And so he especially hates the Jews. Now, we're not really specifically told whether Aquila and Priscilla were believers prior to this, but most people, and I would be one of them, pretty much assume that they were not believers. They were Jews in Rome where the gospel had not gone yet, and they came to Corinth, and when Paul's ministry, he always began in the synagogue, and so he came into contact with them in the synagogue there in Corinth, and that's where they were saved. He may have met them in a synagogue. He may have met them in the marketplace because they had the same trade. We're really not sure. But this we know in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And that's how the gospel came to the Jews in the city of Corinth. So there in Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla served with Paul. They learned the doctrines that he taught. They learned the methods of ministry that he used. They watched his attitude when the synagogue split and the believers went one way and met in the house of a man named Justus, and the Jews who did not believe remained in the synagogue. They saw Paul when the tent business was good. They saw Paul when the tent business was bad. They watched him and they watched his attitude when the careless judge Goliath didn't care that Jews and Christians were being persecuted. though you and I can learn Bible doctrine from a distance, so much of what it means to behave like a Christian, to have a Christian attitude, and how to treat people in situations of all sorts, that is caught more than it is taught. They caught what the Christian life was from Paul. By the way, I want to thank God for my old pastor, Brother Preston. I was privileged to get to spend a lot of time with him and be with him in a lot of circumstances, and I caught a lot about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus in situations of all sorts. Have you ever really thought about, if you're a Bible reader, how unusual it is that Paul would come across the path of Aquila and Priscilla here in Corinth? Says he was born in Pontus, which is about 1,400 miles from Rome. And Corinth is about 1,000 miles from Rome. And Aquila and Priscilla, who were way out of place, happened to be in the city of Corinth at the time when Paul happened to be going there on his second mission trip. You say, how does that happen? Listen, God is always working behind the scenes in ways that none of us can understand and none of us could orchestrate. The fancy word for that is the providence of God. You know, I was talking to Brother Matt. Him and I were doing flyers on Saturday, and sometimes we plan out maps and we have a plan for how we're going to do things and we pray about what we're going to do. And you know, I said, you know, I just believe in the providence of God. We pray and we plan and we do what makes sense to us. And then sometimes God just works things out differently than what we plan, and we have a choice. We can either be angry that things didn't work out like we planned, or we can, by faith, trust in the providence of God that in some way and for some reason, God is working in that situation in a way we could not understand. Now, when Paul left Corinth 18 months later, Aquila and Priscilla accompanied him to do ministry in Ephesus. Look at verses 18 and 19. It says, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now, as a Jew living under grace, Paul had the liberty to keep the Jewish feast. He had the liberty to take a Nazarite vow and to shave his head, and to later, when he reached Jerusalem, shave his head again and burn that hair as a part of his sacrifice. He had liberty to do that. He also had liberty to not do that, because Jesus Christ fulfilled all the statutes and religious requirements of Judaism. He had liberty to do more than the minimum. He had liberty to not do this. In this case, he chose his liberty to keep this vow, to go to this feast, and he took Aquila and Priscilla with him, and he left them in Ephesus. Now, this is a pretty big deal. He was 18 months in Corinth, so that means by this time, at the most, Aquila and Priscilla, if I call them Ananias, I've already done it. If I call them Ananias and Sapphira, forgive me. Sapphira has a P in it, and my notes just say A and P. And so if I mess it up, just always hear Aquila and Priscilla, regardless of what comes out of my mouth. I said, boy, your voice is bad tonight. Don't lift your hand, but if your sinus is running like a faucet, is it not the season? And my sinus is doing that. This morning, like a big boy, I remembered to take something. This afternoon, like a child who needs his mother, I did not. And so here we are. But he, after being saved for 18 months, he trusted them to leave them without him in Ephesus. And in verses 24 to 26, look what happens when Paul leaves. It says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that's in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Notice this is a gifted dude. He is eloquent. He is mighty in the scriptures. He's a lawyer. It's not said that here. That's what he is. Verse 25. So this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. By the way, what that means is he knew that the message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He knew the message that Jesus of Nazareth was the Lamb of God. That's all he knew. And he's zealous. He's in there preaching this in Corinth in verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they, notice the plural, not he, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, is that not interesting? Though Apollos was certainly, not certainly, very likely more intelligent than them, very likely better educated secularly than him, when it came to the things of God, Aquila and Priscilla were better trained than Apollos. They had been trained by Paul, and they listened. They knew something. They were at this time what we would call lay people. They're just in the synagogue, bearing witness to Christ among the Jews, and this guy comes in, and they pull him aside, and they teach him the things of God more completely. Listen, both of them were good students of the Scriptures. They taught him. Now, none of us get to choose the kind of student of Scripture our spouse will be, but all of us get to choose the kind of student that we will each be. Let me ask you, do you know sound doctrine? Do you make the effort to know and understand the Bible? I hope the first time you picked your Bible up this week wasn't today. Amen. Listen, one of the greatest things you will build in your Christian life is not just following along in the Bible when someone preaches and teaches it, but that also on your own, privately, with just you and the Lord, you sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, please teach me, and then you read God's Word. That's how Priscilla and Aquila were. Now, it's very interesting to me that lay people, rather than Paul, played such a significant role in the life of Apollos. Listen, God puts bricks down in people's lives by people we don't always expect. People of all sorts invest in and help and build God's people, not just preachers and evangelists. By the way, it made me pause and thank God for all the people who helped me out in life. Listen, I know you might find this hard to believe, but when I got saved 40 years ago as a frat rat, I had a lot of rough edges. Go ahead and laugh, Jeff and Deb. They knew me then. You know what? I am glad for people who did not have any title behind their name, who just said, you know what? I'm going to invest in that guy. Let me ask you, do you make any effort to invest in the lives of any children here? Do you invest in the lives of any teenagers here? Do you invest in the lives of anyone who's a newer believer here or somebody who's more recently reclaimed? Hey, listen, our first witness is to our family, but our witness is not supposed to stop at the walls of our house. Who are you investing in? Listen, these were a couple of lay people who took a preacher aside who happened to be humble enough to be taught, and they helped him understand. I hope you will follow through on your own desire to grow in grace and knowledge, and I hope that you will decide to make a difference in some other people's lives. This much I can guarantee, if you make no effort, you will not do it. Listen, you don't have to be able to teach 100 people. You just need to be able to take one person under your wing. God chose today for you and I to be placed. Like it or not, we live in a day of spiritual confusion. Like it or not, we live in a day when, by and large, much of American Christianity is lukewarm. That's where God placed us. He didn't place us today to fail. He placed us today to be a light in our world. Will you be part of it? May God help you and I to learn of Christ so that we can teach others. But it's not just that we learn the importance of investing in others and learning God's word for ourselves from Aquila and Priscilla. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I honestly miss my Mountain Dew. The caffeine was affecting me badly, and so I had to go to Sprite. And then when I get to Sunday night, it's watered down. I added some water to it. So it's not even, it's yucky Sprite. But it does help my voice a little bit. I know, pop is unprofessional, but eh. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. It says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, by the time we get to 1 Corinthians, a couple of years have passed since Paul left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. And Paul now, on his third missionary journey, returns to the city of Ephesus. Now, the Bible says Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, and over this time, Aquila and Priscilla had remained faithful to Christ and his work. Now, Paul, he writes from Ephesus to the Corinthian church, and by this time, Aquila and Priscilla, they have a church meeting in their house. That doesn't mean they were pastoring it. They may have just been using their house, and someone else was leading them. We're not told that. And the gospel, when Paul went to Ephesus, the Bible says the gospel went to all of Asia. And so this church in their house, it might have been on the outskirts of their city. It might have been in a town that was surrounding the city of Ephesus there in Asia. We don't really know. It does not mean everybody's supposed to have a church in their house. It means that churches back then often started in houses because they had pagan governments and the unsaved Jews were hostile to them everywhere they went. There are no church buildings in Iran today for the same reason. Listen, when someone tells you, they met in a house in the New Testament, we ought to meet in a house. Listen, don't be taken in by that stuff. There's a lot of issues with the American house church movement. I'm not talking about that tonight. But when people tell you that, well, hey, there's a church in their house, that you can have a church there, but why would you stay there when you could have a building? Now, when Paul wrote back to the church in Corinth, that church was having a lot of problems. Listen, it would have meant a lot to the Corinthian believers to hear that Aquila and Priscilla were still serving Christ. They were still together. They were still doing ministry. Listen, Corinth was where it all started for Aquila and Priscilla. And so by this time, they've been saved maybe 5 years. And they're still together. They're still serving. They're still sound in doctrine. And whenever any of us struggle or a church is struggling, you know what means a lot? To hear about other people who are still serving. You know, we hear so much about this person leaving the faith and this person changing their doctrine and this church changing their method. Listen, it means a lot to hear something. Wow, you know what? Such and so, they're still together. They're still serving Christ. They're still teaching sound doctrine. It means a lot. You know, it's wonderful to get saved and excited about serving Christ, but you know, it's also wonderful when we don't let the challenges of life and the difficulty of blending our lives in the Lord's church become an excuse to no longer serve. They're 5 years into it at this point. Can I make just a basic observation after being a believer for 40 years? There are not a lot of people who stay in the faith more than 5 years. You think back to the people you've seen over the years who got baptized, a lot of them leave. So why? Life is hard. So why? Hey, listen, church is hard. We're just people. By the way, God put us together on purpose because this is how we learn to love one another. It means nothing. It means very little to just love people like you. So he put us in this melting pot to learn what it's like to serve together and love one another. And most people don't make it. That's why we make a big deal out of being here 10 years. Because not a lot of people do that. But here, 5 years after the fact, they're still together, they're still serving. And listen, you say, what kept them going? Faith. They knew God had changed their life. They knew Jesus was the Son of God. They knew He was the Messiah. They knew He made their heart different. They knew the church's importance in the teaching of Jesus and in the teaching of Paul. And so when they were tempted to leave, they didn't. You see, the initial excitement of being saved and learning the Bible could have easily failed Aquila and Priscilla's desire to serve, but it had not done so. Their faith was not built on emotion. It was built in confidence in God's Word. Confidence in what God commanded. Hey, listen, if you've not grown to the place where you understand, wow, I'm going to do what God commanded, even when I don't feel like it, you will never mature in your faith. As long as how you feel about things is governing your decision-making process, you're not going to make many good decisions. By the way, the modern church movement is not built on facts. It's built on emotion. That's why they dim the lights. That's why they have fog machines. That's why they have a screen that goes all the way across the front. Because it works you up emotionally. That's not the kind of faith Aquila and Priscilla had. In fact, it says the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Remember that word salute means to enfold in your arms, to embrace. And so back as he writes, the place where they came from, the place where they got saved, and these initial believers with whom they learned, Paul says, listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they're together, they're still in the faith, they're still serving, and they embrace you. What is your faith built on? Is it built on the firm foundation of God's words? Listen, we will all be shaken and stirred. If our foundation is on anything other than Christ and the Word of God and the fact that we believe Jesus is real and that He changed our heart and that what we do when we assemble together is sent by Him, listen, that will be shaken. This is what keeps us together. I hope everybody in the room tonight, if Jesus tarries, will still be in this room in 5 years or in a room that is like-minded. In fact, I hope it's longer than that. But that's how long Aquila and Priscilla have been going at that time. But it isn't just that we learn the importance of faithfulness to serve Christ over a few years from Aquila and Priscilla. Go in your Bible to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Somebody told me this morning I was winning the basketball bracket. Since Duke lost, I haven't looked. But I was glad to hear I was winning. Really, it was just luck. I watched less college basketball this year and had the best bracket of my life. Who can explain it? I'm bitter anyway. Duke lost. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my neck laid down their own necks, on whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. And greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane and my helper in Christ. And Stachys, my brother. And Paul goes on. He lists 27 names of spiritual leaders in Rome. By the way, none of those names are Peter. Isn't that a pretty big breach of protocol that you named 27 spiritual leaders in the church in Rome, and if Peter was actually there, skip him. Maybe people who say he was there are lying like a rug. Paul wrote the book of Romans about 2 years after the book of 1 Corinthians. Some speculate Paul was in Corinth when he wrote Romans, and quite frankly, it does not matter where he was. What matters is that the book was written by inspiration and preserved for us today. And so as Paul closes out this letter to believers in Rome, as I said, he lists 27 spiritual leaders there, and among them in Rome, we find Priscilla and Aquila still together, still faithfully serving. Now they're spiritual leaders in Rome. They're now 6 or 7 years away from when they were cast out of Rome by Claudius Caesar and meeting Paul in Corinth. We don't really know why they returned to Rome, but in addition to finding them listed among these faithful spiritual leaders, Paul describes them in verse 3 as my helpers in Christ. He says in verse 4 that they had laid down, for my life, have laid down their own necks. In other words, they put themselves at risk to follow and be with Paul. Listen, if they had not been a helper and they had not put themselves at risk, he never would have been able to say at the end of verse 6, I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Listen, the fact that they were Paul's helper and the fact that they had taken risks of faith to serve with Paul, it had made a difference in churches of all sorts. Now, to me, one of the things among many that will be interesting and good in heaven will be learning about all the people who made things happen in the shadows. You know, we're familiar with Elijah and Elisha. We don't know the name of any of the other 100 prophets that Obadiah had. Say, who were they? We don't know. They just weren't as famous. They weren't as gifted. They weren't as prominent as Elijah and Elisha. They were just as faithful. Wouldn't it be great to talk to them? Did you ever think, you know, what about all the people in the ministry of the Lord Jesus who weren't a named apostle, who weren't a named dedicated follower of Jesus? You know, Cleopas and Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Salome and all those people. Listen, there are hundreds of people who personally sacrificed to make the life and ministry of Jesus what it was, and we don't even know who they are, but God does. I mean, think about how difficult it would have been to stick with Paul. I mean, first off, he's extremely zealous. When he goes to the city, he works day and night. And every place he goes, a stink follows him. I mean, he's in trouble because the unbelieving Jews, he's splitting the synagogue, dividing families among the Jews, the government's after him, unbelieving Jews are after him. I mean, everywhere he goes, and listen, you hang out with a guy like that, that's not easy. Aquila and Priscilla said, I'll do that. I'll take those risks of faith. I believe he's a man of God, and we're going to stand with him. He was greatly loved by some and greatly hated by others. Can you imagine what everybody said to them? Ah, you're just Paul's yes man. The same kind of things people say today. You just are doing that because Paul said that. You know, same kind of thing. You just, yeah, Brother Wally says that. Now, anything can to besmirch your faith. And Aquila and Priscilla, I knew I was going to do it. Aquila and Priscilla said, you know what? Hey, we're sticking with the guy. Say what you will. And they weathered these accusations, and now they're 6 or 7 years into it. They just stayed together. They just stayed true to Bible doctrine. They just stayed true to Bible methods. It cost them. They took the risks of faith. Let me ask you, are you a helper or a hinderer of those who lead you? I would hate for the testimony of my spouse to be, they're a hard person to lead. I would hate for my testimony in the church toward my spiritual leaders to be, you know, they're a difficult person to deal with. I would hate for my testimony, my secular job, for my boss to say, you know what? I don't really like working with them. They're hard to work with. I thought about it. I had 8 different secular bosses before I, quote, went full-time into ministry after I was saved. And I just wonder, I mean, what would they say? Was I easy to get along with? Did they perceive that I tried to do what they asked me to do? Was I cooperative with my fellow employees? Was I a stuck-up person? Conceited in the faith, if you will. Was I kind, helpful? Listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they were Paul's helpers. They were somebody who lifted his hands. And so their testimony is just the opposite of many people. Helpers in Christ who risk everything to help him. What is your testimony? Are you easy or hard to lead? Do you consider those who lead you enough to be helpful? Is it costing you anything to fill your role Christ designed and called and gifted you to fill? But it isn't just that we learn the importance of helping our spiritual leaders and taking the risks of faith in life from Aquila and Priscilla. Lastly, tonight, go in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4, or 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think most people here, or at least many people here, you know that 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote. It's written right on the verge of his execution. Tradition says he was beheaded there in Rome at Nero's command. 2 Timothy is written 6 or 7 years after Romans. And so now we are 12 or 14 years into what we know of the life of Aquila and Priscilla and the beginning of their faith in Corinth. And notice as Paul gets ready to finish this last letter, he writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, that's when he first appeared before Nero, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. By the way, that was even Luke, who was with him at the time. He says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. By the way, do you do that when someone offends you? God, don't hold that against him. That's called Christian thinking. Or do you, yeah, God, get them. They got me. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me. Got that phrase highlighted. What a great thought. That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Remember that word salute means, it's like our salutations, to enfold in the arms. He's ready to die. He said, God's going to keep me to his heavenly kingdom. And give Aquila and Priscilla a hug for me. They're still together, still serving Christ, still teaching the same Bible doctrine, still following the same Bible methods. And so with some of his last words, Paul wants to make sure that Timothy embraces them in his stead. I just couldn't help but pause and think about all the people who helped me and stood with me over the years in ministry. Maybe you're not like this, but I can really get easily focused on those who give me trouble and focused on those who left the faith. And this made me just pause and think about people who stayed. honestly, it may seem sappy to you, but I thank God for my wife, for my kids. I know most of you can't relate to this, but you know, when you're in the ministry, you live in a fishbowl. And some people, when they can't get you, try to get your family. By the way, that's not from Jesus. I said some people. And thank God there are other people who say, do you know what? I know that you're in that fishbowl, and I'm going to give you extra grace. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, listen, I'm down the end, and I remember all they've done for me. I thought about people who came here when we had nothing. Today's our 18th anniversary. Listen, I don't think it's ever easy to come to and be committed to a biblical church, because biblical Christianity is demanding. I mean, it is a cross that we carry for Christ. But at least if you come here today, we have a building. I mean, when we first met, listen, it was a smoke-filled union hall. And by smoke-filled, I'm talking about there were smoking UAW workers for 50 years in there, and bingo with 300 smokers there every Thursday and Friday night. I mean, we asked them if we could wash the walls, and when we washed the walls, I'm not lying, they just ran down with brown nicotine and tar. Some of you remember that. And we didn't have a children's ministry, and we didn't have anything. And so people just said, you know, I believe God has sent me here. I believe God's called you. I'm just going to stick with you. That's how Aquila and Priscilla have been throughout Paul's life. You know, do you really ever just pause and think about the fact that you wouldn't be where you are if somebody hadn't propped you up? Listen, I'm not standing here my own merit. I'm standing here not just because of the grace of Christ. I'm standing here on the back and shoulders of people who sacrificed and served. I have an obligation to Christ and to them to not change what we were when they came here. And honestly, I feel bad for people who've never just really invested themselves in God's work. You are missing something. There is something incredibly special when you intertwine your lives with God's people and you serve together and you just say, I will not be moved. I'm going to work through all the difficulties of life and the difficulties of relationships for Christ's sake. And we see that in Aquila and Priscilla. The power of staying together as a couple. The power of not giving up in valleys. Listen, I cannot imagine how badly I would have wrecked my life if Christ wouldn't have saved me and Sharon wouldn't have married me. Ever seen pictures of people jumping out of balconies from hotels and pools? I've done that. I'm that guy. I'd be dead and in hell. If it weren't for many of you, I wouldn't be here. You ever just stop fighting with everybody and be thankful? And honestly, I thought back over my life, and I hope the people have led me and look back at my time with them and say, you know, I'm glad he was here instead of I'm glad he's gone. Amen. You quietly stand.